Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Three things we'd like to discuss today is the fine that the European Union has leveled against Google, $2.7 billion for their fraudulent or skewed search results in the Google rankings. Of course, millions, even billions of dollars are at risk depending upon the way people find ideas, products, services, companies. And so we want to talk about that and also the way we here at Bob and Yurt Live often highlight the Google rankings of some of our resources. Like we just did a two-part series on brain dead patients who recover. And if you Google brain dead patients who recover, we're pretty high on the list. In fact, that's become our most popular page on our entire website here at KGOV.com. And there are so many other topics, science topics, theology topics, pro-life topics, abolitionists, the fight to end child killing. So many topics that we rank very highly, and especially the rankings of one of our dear friends, scientist Walt Brown, ranking number one out of hundreds of thousands or millions of pages for origin of asteroids, origin of ocean trenches, origin of the Grand Canyon, the creation evolution flood, so many such topics. And so we want to talk about that. Yeah, someone here in the studio audience just Googled brain dead patients who've recovered, and we ranked number two out of hundreds of thousands of pages. So we want to talk a bit about Google being fined $2.7 billion and how certainly that could be appropriate in that they have been defrauding the public by sending people to their own subsidiaries, companies that they're benefiting from in a way that deceives the public, who they are then spending their money based on Google results. But the big problem here is the enormous conflict of interest, where the government does not have the authority to punish bad behavior by taking money from those who are committing the crime. The government doesn't have the authority to enrich itself because it's an enormous conflict of interest. So the government does have the authority to try people suspected of crime, including fraud, and it does have the authority to punish someone convicted of crime. But in those punishments might be restitution. They could be corporal punishment. They could be capital punishment. But what they can't be is some mayor or some governor or some president or some EU bureaucrat saying, okay, you're guilty, give us $2 billion. That's a conflict of interest. So we want to talk a bit more about that. And then also earlier today, a member of Denver Bible Church and I spoke at length with a Muslim about Christianity and Islam. So we discussed theological differences, the differences in the scriptures, and issues concerning current events and all the people killed in the name of Islam, even during the month of Ramadan, as we discussed with our Muslim friend. And so, very interesting conversation. The difference between the Quran and the scriptures, the difference between the claimed God of Islam and the true God of the Bible, of Christianity. And then also a third topic is something that's been going back and forth in emails with some of the producers of Bob and Yurt Live. And it's a question put to us by a listener, and that is, what is required to become a Christian? Repentance specifically. What kind of repentance is required to become a Christian? And so as we're talking through this, there are some Christians who believe that God requires of someone that they turn from each of their particular sins that they've been committing. Like, let's say that God viewed a Big Mac as sin, or smoking cigarettes as a sin. Let's say God viewed it that way. And then could someone become a Christian if during their conversion process, if they're hearing the gospel, they're wrestling with their own pride, and they're moved to trust in Jesus Christ, and through the whole thing, they never really give two thoughts about their smoking. And so they now have spent some hours, weeks, months, years, decades as a Christian, and they never thought about repenting from smoking. They still smoke. Maybe it was only a week ago, and they became a Christian. They asked God to forgive them, but smoking never came up. Would that stop them from receiving salvation if they didn't itemize their sins and turn from each of them? And of course, we look at the criminal on the cross in the Gospels, and God has revealed himself to us in a historical narrative so that we learn so much, and we can learn so much better because of the way God has revealed himself to us than if he only gave us a list of commands and a list of axioms and a list of definitions. If that's all God had done, and he could have done it that way, it would be a lot harder to understand. But the criminal on the cross is one of 1,000 historical events recorded in the Bible. And through these, we better understand reality. We better understand God and what God requires of us. So those are the three topics we'd like to discuss today. So over in Europe, the EU, or the U, as we call them, the U find, after an investigation by the European Union authorities, they found that Google was skewing their search results and thereby defrauding members of the public. Because you go to Google and you're searching, let's say you're looking for, you know, to put it in simple terms, you're looking for a new air conditioner. Maybe you live in the Denver suburbs and you Google HVAC or AC contractors. And here you see a list. Here's best for less heating and cooling. Hey, pretty cool. You see all these other contractors and you have this expectation that the ones listed at the top are the ones that the public, your neighbors, have used most frequently or have approved of or linked to or posted on their social media pages. So we put some credibility in the ranking. But, and it's not all that difficult to establish if the search results are skewed in favor of companies owned by Google or by their parent company, Alphabet, and the hundreds of companies and subsidiaries that they do business with. Now, they don't own air conditioning contractors, as far as I know, but obviously they have their fingers in 1,000 pies. And it is easy to see where folks, even if they're skipping the ads at the top, as I typically do, if I Google for a topic or a service, a product, a company, and there are two or three ads at the top of the list, I typically just skip them. And each one starts out, it says ad. I skip the ads. If I want to look for a company that's paying for me to look at their service, then I'll look at the ads. But typically, I want to know, what does the public think is the best service or information in the category that I'm searching? And so I'll click on one of the top few results. Maybe I'll go one or two, three pages down deep Maybe I'll click on number 38 because I'm looking for something specific. But quite often you click on one of the top ranked results. And so this is when Google is ranking and when they have a financial interest in steering business to their subsidiaries or their partners, and they withhold that information from the public, that's a kind of fraud. It's a form of fraud. Then the public is spending their money and they're being misled. It's almost like a business calls you up and says, hey, there's this incredible investment opportunity in town and I'm making a fortune on it. And here, I just want to tell you about it. And you thank them and then you invest. And it turns out they were lying to you. And by lying to you, they benefited financially. So that's a kind of fraud. And the potential, of course, is, I mentioned, you know, thousands, millions, billions of dollars potentially in money changing hands, in business drummed up, that is a result of that kind of fraud. And so this fine, if the punishment against Google, $2.7 billion, that amount could be completely appropriate. But what is inappropriate is the government fining anyone, any criminal, for any civil infraction. It is a conflict of interest, staring the governing officials in the face that they pretend not to notice. They're doing the investigation. They're coming up with the fine amount. They're opposing the fine. And the money goes into their general fund by which they pay their own bloated salaries, benefits, and retirement funds. So it's a conflict of interest that is inherently criminal. Now, the rankings, we mentioned how important the rankings are occasionally here at Bob Inert Live. In fact, I love the article over at the University of Southern California website from their quantum computing department, because it discusses the quantum computers, which cost many millions of dollars. There's just a very few of them in operation right now in the world. And the first one was purchased by Google in cooperation with NASA. And the second one was bought by USC, University of Southern California. Quantum computing has the potential to improve our computing capabilities almost beyond what we could imagine. You know, we use computers for simulators. You like to simulate the way a new helicopter blade might work before you actually build it. You might want to simulate the way a laser weapon system might work on an Apache helicopter before you actually implement that. In fact, back in the 70s, I worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the Apache helicopter. Had a wonderful time. Got to brief a Pentagon procurement general back when they were about to take delivery of the first 60 Apache attack helicopters, the AH-64. So if you could simulate what it is that you intend to build, you could save a tremendous amount of money and avoid many false starts, so that when you're actually building it and implementing it, you've already found out the many ways to fail and the likely way to succeed. Let's say you want to simulate a caffeine molecule, just a caffeine molecule. And how does a caffeine molecule interact and affect our bodily functions? And how does a caffeine molecule interact with other molecules? And so you have a somewhat modest goal, and you find out that the computer you have isn't powerful enough to answer the question, not in billions of years, billions. So you think, well, what if we have distributed computing where we connect all the computers on the internet and we get all of them to work together to simulate the interactions of a caffeine molecule with whatever its physical environments are expected to be. And you find out that if you used all the computers in the world, you wouldn't be able to get your result in your lifetime. That's how complex it is, these problems become. And so with quantum computers, there is the possibility that we will be able to accomplish these extraordinary efforts in short amounts of time. And so that's why Google and NASA purchased the first quantum computer and why USC purchased the second. Now, this article at USC talks about Google's use of computing power, and here's what they write. Google uses a page ranking algorithm, right? When you do a search, you want to know about evidence for the Big Bang. You search that, and then there's a million pages on the website about the Big Bang and evidence for or against it, and they want to rank them in the order of popularity. And so that's what this article is discussing. Google uses a page ranking algorithm, a little software program, that is rumored to be the largest numerical calculation carried out anywhere in the world. That's intense. So every time you do a Google search, it's believed, at least at USC in their quantum computing department, that you are just using the world's largest numerical calculation to find the results. And so often you Google something and people are astounded that they find really what you're looking for. They find what you're looking for. So we recognize that and the value of steering thousands, even millions of people to certain websites, to certain information, services. And so our scientist friend, Dr. Walt Brown, and just to let you know, this fall, Lord willing, I'll be traveling with Walt. We'll be going to the Grand Canyon, a geological field trip, and to a few other national parks for a couple weeks in the fall. I'm so looking forward to that. What an honor to be able to do that with Walt and some of his engineering friends and creationist friends, scientist friends. So if someone anywhere in the world, they Google origin of asteroids, they find Walt Brown's powerful chapter on the internet ranked number one out of 500,000 web pages that deal at some level with the origin of asteroids. Origin of Earth's radioactivity, Walt Brown is ranked number one of 250,000 pages. Origin of ocean trenches, number one out of 400,000 pages. I mean, this is an astounding accomplishment. Origin of frozen mammoths, number one of 350,000 pages. Origin of trans-Neptunian objects, you know, like Pluto and Charon and all those objects out there past Neptune. Number one of 50,000 pages. That's a newer topic. Origin of the Grand Canyon, number one of 750,000 pages. If somebody Googles creation, evolution, and the flood, number one out of 7 million web pages, Walt Brown. And so here at Bob and Yurt Live in Real Science Radio, Theology Thursday, we've been doing very well with search terms, coming in one, two, or three for many important topics, like regarding the Big Bang. Big Bang predictions, number one out of millions. Evidence against the Big Bang, right up near the top. Creation science predictions, number one of millions. 360-day year, number one or two out of millions. What is the firmament of day two? One out of tens of thousands. Is God outside of time? Number two out of millions. Dinosaur soft tissue? Number three out of 500,000. Right to Life, our writings at American Right to Life and Colorado Right to Life, number three out of 600,000,000. Life of the Mother? Maybe somebody in the studio audience could Google Life of the Mother. The last we checked, number one out of 600,000,000. World's largest protest sign, how about that? Number one out of millions. When we put up that sign against the DNC, DNC destroys unborn children. God and the Death Penalty right at the top out of 5 million web pages. So the rankings that Google gives to the public when they are fraudulent, when they take their brilliant mathematical calculation and then change it to put their own financial interest at the top of the list, what happens is they are defrauding the public. And so fraud is something that certainly could be appropriately punished by governments. But the conflict of interest is horrific, where here in Arapahoe County, they used to give out traffic tickets, and the money went to the local law enforcement budget, to the sheriff's department. Every traffic ticket, whatever it was, $130, went right to the sheriff's budget. And then the county commissioners changed their procedures so that the traffic tickets, the revenue, went to the county budget, not to the sheriff's budget. And the sheriff called a meeting and he said, you know, we used to tell every deputy you had to write at least one traffic ticket every day at least. Well, now forget that. Forget that. Only write them if you have to. And so a blatant example of conflict of interest, which leads people to suspect the government itself of fraud. So this whole issue of Google rankings, it's one that a Christian could think through in terms of a biblical worldview and recognize what is right and what is wrong about this current headline, that the European Union is fining Google $2.7 billion for their fraudulent search results, but then they're pocketing the money. So what is right is obvious, and what is wrong is obvious. Now, earlier today, I mentioned a member of Denver Bible Church and I, we got to speak at length with a Muslim about Christianity and Islam. So we talked a little bit about the current horrific level of terrorism in the world. And then we talked about the Quran versus the scriptures, the Bible, and about Allah versus the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ and humility. It was interesting that together that we all agreed that the God of the Quran, Allah, does not exhibit humility, whereas humility is a central attribute of the God of the Bible. That was a very interesting observation, which our Muslim friend agreed with, that Allah is not humble. Allah does not have humility. And of course, the God of the Bible, he humbled himself, God the Son, and became flesh and dwelt among us, and he took our punishment upon himself. He became a servant. He emptied himself of that power and presence and knowledge he had as the eternal God the Son, and he took on not only the form of a man, but the nature of a man. He became a man, and he is forevermore the man Jesus Christ. So he is both the Son of God and today, now, the Son of Man. And that was Jesus' favorite title for himself, the Son of Man. Because for eternity past, he had been God the Son. But through the incarnation, he became the Son of Man. And so to the Lord, that was really big. So beginning with discussing terrorism, I'd mentioned to our friend the terrorist attack in southern Philippines at the end of the month of Ramadan, where they asked a Muslim group took over a city, Malawi, and the citizens there began to flee. And so some Muslims stopped a group of citizens fleeing and they asked them to quote the Quran. And the ones who could not quote the Quran were beheaded. The number of people killed in the name of Islam during their so-called holy month of Ramadan in 2017 was 1,595 people killed in 29 countries, so around the world, in the name of Islam, by Muslims. So we talked about that, and I asked him if every Jew in the world disappeared suddenly, every Christian and every infidel, just they all disappeared from the face of the earth, would the killings stop? And I could see we had a very thoughtful conversation for about an hour. And I could see he's thinking about this. What if it was only Muslims in the world? Would the killing stop? And he didn't respond right away. And so I told him it's my assessment that they would increase. The killings would increase because right now, Christians and Jews, the West, Europe, America, infidels, we're only a distraction to the Muslims. Between the Shia and the Sunni, if we were gone, then it would be on. The fight, the civil war within Islam would be on with a fury. It'd be on with a vengeance. And the killings would probably dramatically increase, as civil wars so often have much higher casualty rates than other kinds of wars so often. And how domestic disputes are so much uglier so often than other disputes. So we talked about terror in Islam, and he argued that, well, it's the other Muslims that are the terrorists. It's not, you know, between Shia and Sunni, and I'm not saying which he is or which country he's from. But he's saying the other Muslims are the ones. In fact, they're not even Muslims. And so it's interesting that within Islam, tens of millions of Muslims get more angry at other Muslims for being what they consider to be fake Muslims than they get at infidels. So then we talked about God, the difference between the triune God, the Trinity of Christianity, and the Unitarian God of Islam, Allah. And I pointed out that Jesus Christ said that if you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not credible, because you need two or three witnesses to establish the truth of a matter. And so God the Father can testify of God the Son for eternity past. And the Holy Spirit can testify of the Father, that the Father has never wronged the Spirit, has never cheated the Spirit or the Son, and that these three testify of one another, and that threefold witness is so powerful. Whereas Allah has no one to testify of himself, if he existed, which he doesn't, but would have no one to testify of himself for eternity past that he was good or holy or loving. No one. And Jesus said, if you testify concerning yourself, your testimony is not credible. And the Lord said, therefore, I have the testimony of the prophecies that spoke of my coming. And I have the testimony of the miracles that I've done. And the testimony of my Father's voice from heaven. And he went on. So, and we pointed out the New Testament saying, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then Christianity is false. Our own religion is false. But on the other hand, if Jesus did rise from the dead, then every other religion is false. May God bless you.